Well, I'd like to thank Jerry for asking me to teach and all of everyone else for letting me. It's a privilege, and it's really nice to see all your bright and smiling faces. So I was asked to teach about outreach based on the prayers this morning. I don't know if you guys need a teaching on outreach because it seems like we got the heart already, but I will do it. And nonetheless, the title is Outreach from the Heart and with Our Father. And I was thinking about outreach and what stops people, what gets in the way. And I thought either a person doesn't care to speak the word or they do care, but they don't think that they can. And that's just what I thought. So that's what I'm going to teach on. The first part one is care to speak the word or care enough to speak the word. The second part is believe that you can. And the third part is just random, why it's fun. So starting with the first one is care to. Outreach is pretty simple on our part. On God's end, it's more complicated. He has to put together people meeting people. He has to put together the cool stuff and know everyone's hearts. And, you know, we don't have to think about any of that. For us, outreach is just, it starts with the heart. We have to have the heart. We have to care about people. Caring is really where it all starts. So you could go to Hebrews 4. Yesterday I spilled a bunch of water on my Bible, so it's a little weird. Hopefully I can find everything I need to find. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. People need rest. And I wanted to read a section from a book. The book is Take a Stand for God, and it's page 109. It's a book by Dr. Werwell. I want to tell you there is no rest to anybody outside of God. It is a lousy, crazy, stupid old world, and it's a trip that has no meaning. That has nothing but frustration and fear and everything else negative in it until people come home with the Lord Jesus Christ back to God. There is no rest outside of God. Those of us who love God and his wonderful word have found that rest, and we want other people to enjoy the same greatness of that rest that we have enjoyed. We have all been on trips, but we have come home. And when you come home and you find that rest, that serenity, peace and quietness so that you can even stand yourself, that is a tremendous thing. And I was reading that, it brought to mind that song, Mad World. Worn out places, worn out faces, going nowhere. And I thought that's a pretty good explanation of the human condition. It's a sad song, but that's not what this teaching is about. People might not look like they're feeling the hardness of the world, but they do, and they're in it. You can go to Isaiah 32, please. Isaiah 32, verse 2. Okay. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And I just thought this verse was a beautiful picture of what we can be for people. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. Have you ever just been on a really windy street and like it's just like blowing on you and you're like, I can't. And then you just find like a little like nook and you go back there and you're like, huh. Or like the next part, and a covert from the tempest, like you're in a big storm and then you find like an awning to stand under and you can just breathe for a second. That's the world, the picture of the world. It's windy, it's stormy, a shadow of a rock in a weary land. Like the sun's beating down on you and you find like this nice cool shadow to stand in. That's what we can be for people in this world. The world is constantly beating on people, and then you can be that person that finally gives someone a break from the world. And do we long to help people? Do we long to ease their burdens, to be a friend to the people who don't have any friends? And if if you do have that heart, then you don't have to try very hard for outreach. That's the heart. And then you just step outside and you keep that heart, and God will set up the people for you to speak the word. So you could go to chapter 50 of Isaiah. I thought that was a beautiful picture, and that's what we can be for people. That's really cool. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. So does your heart go out to the weary to be able to tell them just the thing that eases their burden that they've had for years, that can settle their soul after they've been toiling for a long time? And if not, like, if you don't want to do that, why not? Like, think about why not? We've all been delivered from stuff, so just remember the victory and the great freedom of when you've been delivered from something. Remember that and care that other people can have that too. I think that sometimes we can forget how good it is, what we have here. But this is a family, and it's a really beautiful thing. I've been delivered from a lot of stuff, and I can remember what it was like before that. And that's not to dwell on that, but it's to think about there's other people out there who are going through stuff now. I see outreach as a constant reaching out from the heart. You know, that's the word, outreach. You're reaching out from the heart to whoever is right there next to you, to everybody. You know, it's not just like selective to unbelievers. It's not putting on an act like to trick people into coming around because they think that you care about them. It's like I reach out from the heart to Kelsey when we're on the couch next to each other at fellowship. And then later you go to the store and there's someone there and you reach out to them too because your heart is just reaching out always, you know? And I think that we do that, but I think that we could all probably do it a little bit more. Yeah, so you can't turn it on and off again because that's not how God is. He just cares always, constantly. You could go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Outreach is a beautiful thing. We just extend God's heart to people. And it can sound like a little bit daunting, I think, outreach, but it's just reaching out. That's it. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's Jesus Christ talking. And that's the same heart that we can have. You could go to 2 Corinthians 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So sometimes I think it feels like we have too much on our plate to think about what other people are going through. And sometimes that's true. Like, we sometimes just get so full of our own problems that even we don't have this rest that we're supposed to have. But I want to encourage us to go reach out to each other more. You know, that's what this body is for. Reach out to each other and share life with one another more so that we can get our problems taken care of. We can get our stuff handled together. I mean, we have this body for a reason, and it's to help one another and to move together. To move together and then to move out together. And we do have real problems because we stand on the word. You know, as we stand on the word and as we reach out with the word, the adversary is going to bring stuff up in our lives. So that's why we have to be open and honest with each other. The adversary would love to get us alone, to get each of us on our own where he can just attack us and take everything away from us. But we have to stop hiding, or if you've been hiding, stop hiding, and just share with one another. Reach out from the heart to one another. That's where it starts, at home. And, you know, what facade are we trying to maintain when we don't go to each other with our needs? This is a family. This is our family. God takes care of us, and then we can also take care of each other. If you've been thinking about yourself, I encourage you to go and think about someone else. You know, try to take care of someone else's problem. It's a beautiful thing. We have power. We really have power, and we have the word, so we're able to take care of one another. And we're not alone. So, yeah, eyes off of ourselves and onto each other. Get honest and get our needs taken care of. And it's dire straits out there, so we have to notice. We have to see that. Outreach starts at home, in our hearts, to one another and to everyone, no matter who they are. And sometimes we do have too much on our plate, so it's important to evaluate that too. And if we have to lighten up our loads so that we can reach out and be more flexible and more free, then we do that. We work so that we can have to give to him that needs. So that's important. Go to 1 John, please. It's this heart. Do we let other people's struggles affect us in our heart, or are we just like, oh, that's that person? And I think we do this, but this is where it all starts. It's the heart of God. It's the heart of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So we love the people here and the ones that are out there, and to represent God is to love. That's who he is. And love cannot be a passive thing. Love will bring us out there into the world. Love is something that we do something about. If we really love, we're not going to be loving everyone in the world from our couch. You could go to Hosea 6, please. Love will motivate us to do things. That's why it's the heart that really matters in outreach. Like, we could talk about technique, you know, perfect witnessing technique, but that's not going to get anyone out there. Hosea 6, 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Mercy is goodness, kindness, faithfulness. And the point is that it's not all the doing that we do. It's the heart. You know, knowing God more than the traditions that we keep and making sure that we uphold those. Not going through the motions or doing the things that we know will get the praise of one another. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's why we do stuff. Go to Matthew 9, please. Matthew 9:11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? So this is the Pharisees talking to the disciples of Christ, or the apostles, I'm not sure. Verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So God's heart is merciful. He always wants to take care of people's suffering. And it's not about the outside. Like here, they're like, why does he eat with these people? And then another time they get mad at him for not washing his hands, or his followers for not washing their hands. And it's just like, who cares? Like, why? God doesn't care about keeping those rules. He doesn't care about keeping up appearances. He cares about people, and he cares about the people who look like nothing to the world, which we see them all the time. It's not a question of the past of a person or what they've been doing up until the moment that you meet them. If a person is dead in sin or dead because they haven't been born again yet, they're dead. The amount of their sin can't kill them anymore. It doesn't matter what they've been doing. The worst sins don't make someone more dead. And, like, the amount doesn't matter either. So everyone's eligible. What's in question when you meet someone like this is what's going to happen right now in their life, not what they did. What's going to happen right now and what's going to happen with this person for all of eternity? That's what's at stake. Verse 13, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, I think this is awesome. Jesus Christ says, like, it's a good idea to take some time to learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And I think that's a good idea for us to do in our lives, too. Take some time to get back, if we've lost the heart, to get back to the heart of things with God. And that might mean you miss showing up to something that people are going to notice, you know? But what's important is the heart, not that you show up and people approve that and they applaud you, you know? It's the heart of things with God. So if we've lost that, get back to it. And if you've had that the whole time, that's great. And we could pray that our hearts get even bigger. Go to Romans 2. I think there's always room to have a bigger heart because none of us yet have a heart as big as God's. Romans 2, verse 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance?" So we don't like what somebody out in the world is doing. Give them a chance to change. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. You know, people in the world don't just all suck. Like, some of them genuinely do, but not all of them. But it's the goodness of God that leads people to change. And when we speak to them, that's their chance. You can't judge those people because, well, you can't judge them, especially without giving them a chance. And you really shouldn't anyway, but they don't have the truth to walk on. That's why they suck. We are the people to give them the chance. And then sometimes are we disgusted? Are we dumbfounded? Are we shocked by the stuff that we see in the world that people do? Sometimes we are. But the heart that we need for outreach is the one that sees that insane person and thinks, but what could she be if she had the word? You can go to Romans 12. That's the vision for people. That's the heart that we need to have. Not the one that judges, but the one that says, they need this word. They could be something amazing. Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Yeah. So people out there need us to give them a chance to do this, like we have, to renew our minds, to change as we can change. Luke 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." So if we don't speak the word, then men will be starved of life. The other day, someone said at fellowship, people are hungry and all that they have to eat is garbage. And that's so true. The devil puts garbage out there into the world, and people are hungry. So we have to put the word out there. Otherwise, they don't have the opportunity to renew their mind. We can't blame them for being awful or for needing help. You know, we're the ones that have the help. You could go to John 17, please. It's really easy to just go about our day and, like, kind of not notice most people, but a heart that really feels how God feels notices people, and it's just constantly reaching out. John 17, 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. By reaching out with our hearts of love and sharing the truth, we separate people from this world that they're so stuck in. They're just stuck. And we've been sent to do it, and not by me. You know, by God and by Jesus Christ, we've been commissioned to do a job. We're not inviting people into religion, but into life itself. You know, that they can truly live. And it's an amazing thing. Jesus Christ is the way to God, the only way. So they have to know, they have to find out that way. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to do it. And this country has to go back the way of the word. Otherwise, there's no chance for it. There's no chance for people in it. The world has to go back to the word, because the word is the only chance for people living at any time, in any place. It's the only chance for a man to be able to walk as a man as God intended, to have the dominion that he'd given us at the beginning, for us to be able to do it in the beautiful way that God intended. You could go to Hosea 4. You know, these days, people in the world waver according to the daily news. That's not what God had in mind. He didn't want people to be afraid. He didn't want people to be timid and in pain all the time. And he still doesn't want that. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. I don't really know what that's talking about, but the part that I wanted to focus on was the first part. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The chances of people hearing the word out in the world are very low, and they're zero if we, the believers, don't speak the word. They don't really have a chance. And the goal is to give people a chance to hear so that if they want to believe it and if they want to stand, they can do that for however long they want because we gave them the chance. That's what God wants. He wants man to be like his plan for man to be. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This verse really hits you because having no hope, without hope, means that you're not even looking for a way out. It's like you're living at the bottom of a pit and you're not trying to climb out because you don't know that there's anything except for the bottom of the pit. You don't know that there's other stuff out there that's not the pit. And that was us. That was all of us. And that's people today. People don't know anything. That's just life for them. It's just there's no way out. They have no hope of getting out because no one has told them that there's anything but the pit. And it's a privilege that we can go and reach out to those people and be like, this is life, you know? There's a quote that I really like. The life of a man is worth your time. You know, if you could give one person life, eternal life, like, that's worth so much. The other week or something, Jerry said in conversation, making an imprint on one person's life is worth all your time and all your efforts. And how many of us have reaped the benefits of the heart that man has, Jerry? And we can have that heart for other people. And God's heart for people is bigger than any of ours. So we need to just pray that we can have bigger hearts to bring people into this rest that we have. Because that's not life for us. For us, we're not at the bottom of the pit. For us, we're like at the top of a mountain most of the time. And it's really a beautiful thing. And it's outreach is not just a numbers thing, you know? It's not like we hear numbers, but like 5 people that you pass on your morning commute, like what are those 5 people worth? You know, it's just 5. But what is Julie and Isabel and Hannah and Brian and Erica? What are those 5 people worth to you? Everything. You'd do anything for them. So if we each got someone in the Word this year and then came back here next year, that's 200 or about 200 people's worth less suffering than there would have been in the world before. And that is so worth it. People are worth everything to God. People like you and me are out there in the world right now waiting to hear the Word. And what else better do we really have to do? We have to reach out with our hearts because they're all worth it to God, even just one person. He wants men to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. You could go to Luke 15. Luke 15:7. Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So what is the value of one man's soul? I mean, all of heaven rejoices when a person gets saved and gets in the Word. That's amazing. We have to get the Word out there because we have the ability to. We have the responsibility to. And not because we feel bad, you know, if we don't. Because that's not good either, but because we care and because we can. And this isn't to make us all feel bad and to be mournful and just be like, oh, life sucks and it's really bad out there. But it is delusional to be numb to the people out there because especially because we are the ones called to help them. If we don't think about this, nobody thinks about it. If we don't care about those people, nobody cares about them. But God does care about them and He sent us. We're equipped in every way. So I want to read Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's really good news, and it changes everything in a person's life. And it's almost too easy. It's pretty easy, this job that we have. There's another quote by Dr. Werbel that I want to read. The times in which we live are more crucial than we allow ourselves to think. So think about it and have the heart. Okay, so that was the first part. The second part of the teaching is believe that you can, or rather, that God does work in you. So you go to 2 Timothy. Now that we all care. Second Timothy, it's going somewhere else. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7, a verse we've all heard. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I never realized the context of this verse until I was putting this teaching together. So we're going to read the next 2 verses. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, don't be afraid to speak the word, whether we think that we can't or it's just too hard or we're not good at it. Don't be afraid, because we have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And God has called us according to, it says in verse 9, according to his own purpose and his grace, not according to our works, not according to our skill or our accomplishments at anything. So that's why we can speak the word. It's because God works in us. You could go to John 4, please. This is a record that I really like about Jesus Christ speaking the word to some lady. John 4. Okay, John 4, verse 6 is where we're going to start. So basically, Jesus Christ was walking along and he was tired and thirsty, so he sits at this well. Verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. So everything is normal up until this moment. Verse 8, For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So she's like, Why are you talking to me? You're not supposed to talk to me. So what's up? Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So if we were in this situation, like we've read this record, so we're like, yeah, that's what happened. But if you were in this situation, you'd be like, what? Like, what? Okay. So he offers her, he said, if you like knew who you were, you'd ask me for living water. And she just goes with it. Verse 11, The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She's like, fine with it. She's like, you don't have anything to scoop up the water with. Verse 12, Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Actually, yeah, he is, because he's Jesus Christ. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Okay. Verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. 15, The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she's interested in not having to come there again, in less work, basically. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. So now it gets really interesting. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she sees there's something going on here. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that escalated quickly. Like, so he just is sitting there, like, wants something to drink. And then, you know, just across the page, he's telling her how everything works spiritually. Like, this is what's the deal. I'm like, how does that happen? How does that happen? It's because God works in us. God worked in Jesus Christ. He knew the perfect thing to say. Now she has total trust. She's like, oh, this man's a prophet. She has respect for him. She's listening to what he says. Go to verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest with her? And the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the mean, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. So he's just like saying wild stuff at this time. Verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has anyone brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap what that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So I don't know if he knew what he was going to say before he got to the well. I don't know if he knew anything about this woman, but I don't think that he sent a private investigator on her or anything. We can do this outreach thing because God goes with us and he goes before us and he backs us up and he supplies us as we walk. When we start a conversation with someone, we're equipped for whatever is going to happen in that conversation, whatever follows. And if you haven't done one manifestation yet, you can still do all 9 right now. It doesn't matter if you've done them yet. If you're born again, you can do it. You're equipped. It doesn't require any prep or qualifications beyond getting born again. Each time we speak the word, God himself is there with us. And he's backing us up. He's supporting us. He's ready to supply his little soldier. And I've shared this picture before, but what I see is like in the Matrix, there's this guy who's like, he's on a big, I don't know what you'd call it, like a robot, and he's like shooting at something, and there's another guy behind him supplying the ammunition as he's shooting. That's us as we witness. We're out there speaking the word, we show up, and then God is supplying us with the word that we need, the ammunition, the information, the wisdom, the support, the power. Everything that we need. We don't walk into situations blind, and we don't walk in just with our own brain, because that would be bad. We're supplied. We can do it. And when this stuff happens is when we step into the action. We will manifest as we witness to people. We have to be confident and know that we can do it. It's sure. It's something to rely on. God's power is something to rely on, and we can know that we'll have all that we need. When we go to speak to someone, picture it working out. Picture that you know exactly what to do to help them. Oh, I have a question. How many of you have ever spoken to a person? It should be everyone. So that's half the battle. It really is. It's usually the hardest part, actually, is just saying hello, especially these days. I feel like it's gotten a little bit harder. But once you say hi, now you're talking. And that sounds like it's a joke, but it's not. Like, that is the hardest part when you're with people. Having a big care for people will help you get over that hump. But really, it's just we have to decide to do it. My easiest and most awesome witnessing experiences have been, I'm going to tell this 2 stories now. They've been on days that I said I just am not feeling this today, like, I even said out loud, both of those days, I said in my heart, let's see something cool, God, it's gonna have to be you, because it's not gonna be me today, and the first one was me and Ty were witnessing in New Brunswick, and we hadn't spoken to anyone in, like, an hour. We had spoken to each other a little bit, but I had only to tell him, like, I'm not excited about this. And then we were sitting on a corner and there was this crowd walking by and there was a guy in the crowd, like, nothing special about this guy, and I just yelled at him and I was like, hey. And that was all that I said. Like, that was all that I attempted to say to anyone that whole time. And he came down, he came over to me and sat down next to me. And I was like, okay. And then after that, I led him into tongues. It turned out he was the president of the Catholic Student Association at Rutgers, coming back from a meeting, and he had wanted to speak in tongues for years. God is at work. Like, there's no way that I could have done that. I was not doing anything. The second one, which was recently, it was a similar situation. I was like, I don't want to do this today, but maybe you'll do something amazing. So there was a guy, I just walked up to him at the mall, I didn't know him, nothing special about him, and he knew my name. He goes, Hannah? And I was like, I mean, yeah, but not to you. Like, it was weird. And it turned out he remembered me from middle school, where we went to school together in another state. And 2 days before, he had prayed on his knees, asking God to help him. So that was really cool. He asked God to help him out of the life that he was in. And it took 2 days. So God will be in the right place at the right time many times. It's an amazing thing. It's because of God. That's why we can know that we can do it. You know, we care enough, and then we know that we can because God works. The crazy thing is that God is so concerned with the business of outreach that he works with us before the first hello. We don't do it alone, and we don't do it with our own brain to support us. That's why we can. You could go to Romans 8, please. Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nor witnessing, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God, from how much God cares about us. And God helps us. You know, if he cares so much about his children, don't you think he cares about the ones that have yet to believe enough that he's not going to let anything stand in his way to those people? You know, and that includes, like, my social quirks. They're not going to get in the way. Or your resting bitch face. Like, it's no problem. He can work in you. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but... We didn't write the word, and we don't have to bring it to pass. We speak the word. We don't have to change someone's life, you know? We just show up holding forth the word, and the word changes their life. God's power changes their life. He has the power for us as we need it. He has the word that works, and he supplies the answered prayers. It's really cool to be able to see, like Pammy said this the other day, it's really cool to work with someone to be able to see God answer prayers in their life. And that it's not your power or something that you're trying to make happen for them. We don't have to really do anything. We just supply the word. We can pray with them, but God supplies the answers. 2 Corinthians. So that's why we can do a great job at this, because we don't really have to do much. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now God works in us doing the same thing. He worked in Jesus Christ, he works in us. We have a calling, and we don't have to do it alone. And you know why each one of us has to speak the word? It's because I can't necessarily speak the word to the person in your life that needs to hear it. God works with you where you are. He works with you over here, me over there. We each have a circle. I was thinking, my friend Chris has a jeweler in Montana. I'll never meet that guy, but he talks to him all the time. We each have a way about us, too. Each of us and all of us have been called to this ministry, and God knows how to work with you, even if you think that you're just the worst. God knows how to work with you, and you can do a lot. It's reaching out from the heart with love to people in every corner of our lives, just every corner, the people that only you can reach. The harvest is always going to be plenteous, and the laborers are always going to be few. The more people who spend their days reaching out from the heart, the more people God can send that way, knowing that they're going to be taken care of. And that's the way that it works. You could go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we sow, and God gives the increase. We can be sure of it. We don't have to try to plan that whole thing out ourselves. And it might not be the people that we speak the word to, but when we speak the word, people are going to believe, because then it's out there in space. The word doesn't go out void. It's never useless. And God will get it to the people who want to hear it. Maybe you're talking to someone and it's someone over there, like in another aisle of the store, just listening, and they hear it and they are interested, and that's going to change their life. It accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. And we just speak it. We don't need revelation to speak the word either. We just speak it. We sometimes need revelation if God wants us to shut up, because maybe it's not the time or the place, but generally it is. You could go to Romans 10. A great time to speak the word is any time. Romans 10. Verse 13. So this is a series of great questions. Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I don't know. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God does the calling and the saving. We just speak the word. We speak the word. How are people ever going to hear the gospel of peace? Or in verse 15, the glad tidings of good things. We can do that, and we don't have to be perfect to do it. You could go to 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth, that's the love of God. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So the love of God never fails. So when we walk in love, when we share the word in love, it doesn't fail. And what would you do if you had something that you knew worked 100% of the time? I would invest in that. You know, if you have something that just has 100% success rate, I would put more time into doing that thing. It won't end up being a waste. Most of the things that we do have like a little bit of return on our investment, and they end up being like a big waste of time. But when we walk in love, when we live in love, when we give love to people, it will not fail to change things in their life, and it will not fail to change things in the world. We should bet on this love of God thing. The pressure is really not on us, because God upholds his word, and he can take the pressure of delivering for people. He can uphold his word, and he can set up the cool stuff. We can do this because the love of God never fails, and God never fails. You can go to Luke 12. We're almost at the third part, and then the third part's really short, so don't worry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, yeah, that was just for me. Luke 12. Verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Oh, yeah, because that's not so bad, just the body. Verse 5, But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So God will take care of you. Don't be afraid of people. If we knew that what we had is bullshit and it's not going to hold up, then we shouldn't have the boldness to speak. But we know that we have something real, and we have real power in the moment that we need it. It says here, don't worry about what you're going to say, because in that moment, in that same hour, the Holy Ghost shall teach you. We still can do that today. God can still do that with us today. He can still supply us the moment that we need it. Be bold because the word is true. You know, there's a devil in the world, and he's bold. And what he speaks is lies. It's all lies. And lies don't hold up. They fall flat in the moment that you need them to work. But that's not the word that we share with people. There's a lot of lies out there, and we have to get the word out there so that people can have something to stand on that they don't have to be ashamed of, and that they won't be knocked down in their moment of need, that they can stand on the word and God can support them too, like he does with us, something real. That's what we need to get out there. And time again in God's word, we see Jesus Christ, motivated by compassion, reaching out to the people who are around him. We can move like that too. We move and God supplies the increase. He sets up incredible situations for us to be part of, getting the word to people in crazy situations. You know, God gets the people to where you are so that you can speak the word to them, because he knows you're someone who loves and someone who can help. That's you and me reaching out in love and just believing that God will help you to help. And we can't connect all the dots in life to make the perfect outreach happen, but God has that job. We don't have that job. We have a different job. It's just speak the word. So part 3, why it's fun. Colossians 4, verse 3. Colossians 4:3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I think that's so cool. The word without in verse 5 means out of doors, or in other words, out there. And redeeming the time means make the most of it. So that's walk in wisdom toward them that are out there, making the most of your time. We get to use, this is why it's fun, so everyone get excited. We get to use God's wisdom for this job. We're on the clock. You know, if you like playing games, this should be fun. The clock is ticking. There's people out there waiting to get gotten. We have a toolbox full of special abilities. We have unlimited phone of friends to our Father God, who has insider information and cheat codes. Like, and there's a reward ceremony at the end of this. So if that's not going to do it, like, for you in this life, like, if that's not fun and exciting enough, I don't know what's going to do it. The people are out there. The world is full of them. And it could be, they're hiding in plain sight. It could be you're at Home Depot. It's like the husky guy at Home Depot, or the rude cashier at McDonald's, or your childhood best friend that you care about so much. Why not make it fun and see through God's eyes? When you see through God's eyes, you just see people everywhere who might believe the word, who you want to help. Start with hello, and maybe you finish with here's how you speak in tongues, and maybe you'll have that person in your life for the rest of your life. It's a cool thing. There's nothing to be embarrassed about because it's God's word. If it was our word promoting ourselves, then we'd have a reason to be embarrassed, but we really don't. We don't have to be ashamed. And here's another quote. I love quotes by Dr. Werwell. If just one person stands, the word will live. Maybe that's you in your area. And I like to take on a reckless kind of attitude towards this whole thing. Let's see what kind of damage we can do. The world is out there. It's waiting. And we only have so much time. Jesus Christ could come back later today, and then you'd only have lunch after this, you know? Like, that's your last chance. We really only have so much time. And there, with recklessness, like, we're only going to be at this moment in time, at this very moment in time. Once it's passed, you can't go back and try at that moment again. So that means if you didn't speak the word and live out loud, then you might have missed that one chance forever. And on the other side, it also means if you did take the chance and it just was terrible, the moment's passed and it can't hurt you anymore. So, like, what do we have to lose, really? God will work in you and with you. And all we need to do is want it. We supply the heart and the boldness, and God supplies the people who are hungry. If we can believe that, then we can do it. There's no teaching perfect witnessing technique because that's God's job. You know, his part is to set up the coolest things, the craziest things. We just show up with a desire. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. That's where we're going to close. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 9. We have to have our eyes up and be more interested in what God's going to do than in what we're going to do. Because that's the interesting thing, is what God's going to set up. We just show up for people. And when God does cool things, it can't be mistaken for our hard work. It's fun to introduce people to our God and to watch him come through for them. Okay. You want an exciting life, I mean, witness. 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So when we witness, we're going to get into some situations. You meet all kinds of people. He's with all kinds of people here, and he's just being with them. The Jews, the people without the law, like the weak. We're going to learn about life. We're going to learn about people. And it's fun to challenge yourselves to new ways to speak the word, because, I don't know, I just think it's fun. Like, you're going to end up saying some weird stuff. Like, maybe someone's buying Reese's at the store, and you're like, I love Reese's. They're filled with peanut butter. You know what I got inside? Like, weird stuff. And then you, like, kind of cringe, but you're like, I tried. And if they're hungry, then they'll bite, you know? It's fun to have vision. If you think small, you act small. But if you have great vision, you're going to start acting out on it. Oh, we're actually going to one more place. 2 Corinthians 9, to close again. Second Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So if you really want to see this in your life, just let it rip. Speak the word. When we go out there in the world, people see us every day, no matter what. For the most part, we don't have to learn how to be seen or how to talk to people. We already do that. We just have to give them something good to look at, something that's of the quality of the word and something that's the heart of God. As witnesses, we just attest to the truth out there in the world. The words that we speak to people, let them be words that offer them a chance to grab hold of a greater life, if that's what they want. We're not salesmen. We don't push things that people don't want. We're rescue boats to people, and we have to make sure that our flashers are on so that when we rub shoulders with someone, they know that was their one chance, up and out, to have a greater life, to reach the people who do hunger. God is at work within us. So the summary is, one, care to, with heart, reach out to people. The second thing, believe that you can because God is at work within you. And thirdly, it's fun. And that is all.